Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And we are joined by the outstanding Rich Scarcella. Rich, it was a pleasure to see you on Saturday. Great to have you with us today.
Steve, always a pleasure for me to be with you.
Especially on a day where the Packers are playing.
Yeah, and I just got even better news. The Packers-Viking game on Sunday has been flexed to a 4:25 Eastern time, which is suitable for us to get work done before the kickoff.
Oh, well done. I love that. That's great. Saturday. Oh, I just wanted to start with the atmosphere part of it. It's a little different because we have the windows open and the whole thing, as opposed to a closed press box. But what was your, at least your general impression of the atmosphere? Rich?
Rich?
I think we may have lost Rich.
Okay. I believe you're right. I will get on that.
Well, thank you very much, Todd. All right. So we'll get back to Rich Scarcella in just a few moments and talk with him about what he saw and everything that went with it on Saturday at Beaver Stadium. So as Penn State beat SMU in the college football playoff opener 38-10. And just really, the defense set the tone to create a dominating performance by Penn State. And that's, you know, really what it ended up being. As I said, when I saw like three or four of the SMU players come out without shirts on, I looked over at Jack. I said, false bravado. Because that's what it is to me all the time. It's false bravado every time I see something like that. Because... you know, who are you trying to convince, me or you? I grow up in New England.
Should be back, sir.
I wear a coat. Rich, your thoughts on the atmosphere from your perspective on Saturday in Beaver State?
Electric. We had heard, looking at Ticketmaster in the week or so leading up to the game, you know, there were a lot of tickets available, and with the weather, real field, 9 or 10 degrees at kickoff, didn't know really what to expect. I thought the turnout was magnificent. I thought the atmosphere was electric, and I think the crowd had a definite impact on SMU.
Yeah, I do too. I also feel there's a fine line between reckless and aggressive, and in watching the videos leading in, I felt that SMU skirted it. Was that in evidence on Saturday?
SMU skirted how they approached the crowd, or
no, in terms of how they play the game. I mean, there, you know, there's between reckless and aggressive. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I thought it was aggressive right from the get-go, from the first series when they on the 4th-and-1 where they ran the bootleg, and Jennings just didn't throw a good pass to the tight end. He threw it to the wrong side, even though he was open. So, yeah, I think they were aggressive for the most part. The one call that I still don't understand is kicking a field goal down 28-0
in
the third
quarter.
That made no sense. I didn't get that at all.
That made no sense. All right. And I mean, I know, and this tells you everything about the conditions, though. Rodgers is 15 of 21 beyond 40 yards with 7 50-yard field goals this season. Mm-hmm. That was a 42-yarder. Rich, he was short. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, it was. I'm even going back to the first one.
Yeah.
That down 28-0.
Yeah, that made no
sense.
I
don't understand. It makes no sense. And then you're right, Steve. On top of it are the weather conditions. What are you doing? And, you know, are you playing to win or are you playing to have a respectable score at the end? I didn't get that at all.
No, it made no sense to me. The Penn State defense, to get 3 picks, 2 pick-sixes, especially in the first half, from start to finish, what did you think of their performance?
I think it was outstanding. They were gap sound, meaning they played a very disciplined defense. They stayed in their lanes, and they dominated. I mean, that team was scoring 38 points a game and held them to 10, which is their season low. I wasn't surprised that Penn State's defense would have a big impact. SMU had only played one top 35 defense all year, and that was BYU, and BYU held them to 13 points. So that didn't surprise me, but they dominated. I thought all three linebackers played great. I thought the defensive line was wonderful, and the secondary wasn't tested much.
The running game. Jack and I talk about this all the time on our broadcast, that regardless of location of game, regardless of weather conditions, defense and your running game travel. Singleton had 97 yards from scrimmage. Allen had 98 yards from scrimmage. What was your thoughts on their performance in conjunction with the offensive line?
I was going to say, let me talk about the offensive line first. Not that I don't think highly of Nick or Katron, but I think they're both great backs. I think the offensive line, these last two games, Saturday and then in the Big Ten title game against Oregon, were outstanding. The offensive linemen were outstanding, and to run for almost 300 yards against Oregon, which had a top 10 defense, has a top 10 defense, and to run for almost 200 yards against the fourth-ranked rushing defense in the country in back-to-back games, that tells me a lot. Says a lot about them. Yes, I agree with your premise and Jack's premise. I think defense and running game, very important in this playoff. And if you look at all four games last weekend, the line of scrimmage, the teams that won the line of scrimmage, or actually the teams that won the game, dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
Absolutely right. Somebody had asked me if I would make any change in the format that they have. So the only change I would make is that, look, the NCAA tournament, for example, if you win the Big Ten championship game, it doesn't mean you're one of the top four seeds. You know, you could end up on the 3-seed line, right, winning the Big Ten championship game. Because I think you have to use some basketball logic as to how it fits into football logic. Right? I think you have to. I think they should seed them, Rich, 1 through 12, while giving the champions an automatic bid, but that doesn't mean you're one of the top four seeds. It means you could be seeded 7th.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's the tweak that I would make, because I'll give you an example. Down here in Berks County in high schools, there are 8 teams that make the basketball playoffs and other sports, and they had a system in place when they went to 3 divisions that the top 3, the 3 division champions not only get automatic berths, they got the top 3 seeds. And what was happening, the 4-5 game were 2 of the better teams in the league, and they were beating each other up. I think absolutely they should be seeded 1 through 12. I want to keep the automatic berth you. I want to keep it for the conference champions. The only question I have is, besides the Power Four, do you leave one group of 5 team in? Like, how does that work? How will that work? But I think if it's 12, I think you can't have more than one group of 5, whatever, you know, one, whatever, you know, Mountain West, any of the other conferences. So, yeah, I think you get a better, maybe you get better matchups in the first round. I don't know, but I think that's a fair, much more fair way to do it.
Yeah, and again, that doesn't mean I agree with Rich completely. Just because we're talking about, hey, you go 1 through 12, that, you know, Ohio State plays Tennessee in an 8-9 game. Everybody thought that game was going to go to the fourth quarter. And Ohio State, as Rich said, dominated the offensive line in what was supposed to be, quote, the most competitive game of the weekend. So, I mean, you know, whatever system it is, you're still going to get games like that. But I'd rather see that system than, with all due respect, let's Arizona State. You're telling me Arizona State's the 4 seed? Really?
Yeah, you can't. Like, if you're Oregon, if you are Oregon, you're playing Ohio State. Texas is playing Arizona State.
Right.
That's an issue. Now, maybe, and again, having not sat in the meetings, the compromise they reached out to get it passed, I don't know. But I'm with you, 1 through 12. See them run 1 through 12, regardless if they're conference champions or not.
What does it mean? I mean, the next game is going to be the next game. And it's a business trip. There's going to be, you're not doing steak fries, and you're not going to be going out and visiting all the sites and things like that. This is all business. They're not even getting there until Saturday night. So, Rich, A, what did it mean, big picture, that Penn State got in and won the first game? And then I'll go with a couple of the questions after.
Steve, I think I felt, I wrote today in the print editions, I felt there was enormous pressure on Penn State and James Franklin to win that game. I thought the relief was visible. You could hear the emotion in his voice. And I don't think it was just over getting 100 wins, his 100th win at Penn State.
Right.
I think if Penn State had lost that game, I think the criticism of James, unfairly or fairly, would have grown exponentially. I do think, you know, I was asked this earlier today, and I'm still not sure. Would you consider this a successful season right now, even if they lose to Boise State? And I said, I would. But I know there are a lot of critics out there who wouldn't because they're favored by double digits against Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any question if they beat Boise State and they're in the semifinal against Georgia or Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl, that's a successful season. I don't know how you can argue otherwise. But I think it was like, I think there are a lot of fans who wanted to see a home playoff game and wanted to see them win, and they got their wish Saturday, and I think that's important.
Yeah, I mean, it's always something that I find interesting as you're watching a team go through and clearing hurdles, is that when people are not enamored with somebody, they keep moving the bar instead of maybe looking at the whole thing. And I'm kind of sick of people moving the bar. Just like, you know, look at it realistically.
I mean, I got two emails in the last hour here. I was, you know, James was on earlier on a Fiesta Bowl call, and I'm transcribing.
Right.
You know, and one, and both of them are critical of James. And I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, well, winning 12 games is the same as it was in 1994, 86, or, you know, and 73. Okay, it wasn't. I never, you know, but it's still a pretty darn big accomplishment to win 12 games in a season. I don't care how you cut it.
Right. Right.
You know? I mean, but there are people out there. I mean, I don't know what it'll take for the criticism to stop. And it's a small, vocal minority. It's not the majority of the fan base.
No, look, they have their agenda. I understand that part.
Yeah. So, but I mean, you got in the playoff, which I think big. You had to get in the playoff, and you won at home against the number 10 team in the country. Whether you like their ranking or not, they were the number 10 team in the country. And now you got a shot to play Boise in the Fiesta Bowl and a shot to get to the semifinals. And again, like I said, if you get to the semifinals in this format and you lose to Notre Dame or Georgia, whatever, I mean, how do you consider that a failure? I just don't understand it.
Rich, there's a segment, and I'll label it 10%, 5 to 10%. Mm-hmm. You can tell me if I'm off base on the percentage. That don't understand how difficult winning is.
Right? Also true.
I mean, this is not an ESPN highlight show where it looks like it's easy to win. Right? You know, it's a real 3.5 hour game. Winning's hard, and that's what makes, like, you talk about 12 wins. Winning's hard to do that 12 times.
Yep.
You've done a lot of difficult things to get the 12 wins because this is not the same team that took the field against West Virginia in terms of personnel.
No. No, absolutely not. And, you know, you're right. You're 100% right. It's winning 12 games in this day and age. Wow. I mean, that's really impressive. And the other thing is, how good does that loss to Ohio State look today?
Yeah.
I mean, not that a loss is good, but you know what I mean. Like,
Yeah.
You know, Penn State had an opportunity to win the game. They didn't, but they had an opportunity to win the game.
Right.
Okay? And I know the fans are tired of close calls against Ohio State. I get that. But it tells you Penn State's pretty good. Really good.
Yeah.
So, oh well.
I mean, again, you know, you're at some point with again that 5 to 10%. I'll use my mother's old expression. She used a different word, but it's like shoving garbage against the tide. I mean, it's like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
She may have used a different word, a little more colorful.
I mean, I understand. You know, nobody wants to win more than James Franklin.
No.
Nobody wants to win the national championship more than James Franklin.
Yeah.
And you know, to say, you know, I understand the frustration. And yes, he doesn't have a great record against top five and top ten teams. I mean, you know, we know that. Okay. But this program, over the last, especially beginning with 2016, it's been really good. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah.
It just can't get over the hump. And as I brought up this morning to somebody, who isn't as old as you and I, Tom Landry was one of the great coaches in NFL history. Is still one of the great coaches in NFL history.
Yeah. But
I remember growing up, he can't win the big one.
Can't win the big one. I'll give you the other one. Okay. And because I've always thought of same thing. Can't win the big game.
Then he won the Super Bowl.
Okay. You know who the other one was? John Madden was told over and over again he could not win the big game. Now, I happen to sit right next to one of the problems he had, Jack Ham, because they couldn't get past the Steelers. Okay?
Yeah.
And they finally got past the Steelers when Franco and Blyer were both out and couldn't play the AFC Championship game. They both got hurt in the playoff game with, I think, the Colts or
somebody like that.
And they won. Right. They won the Super Bowl. At that point on, Madden was golden in his life after that moment when they beat the Vikings. But before that, John Madden was the guy that for 10 years could not win the big one. And see, it's things like that. It's those narratives that crop up. And if you have a semblance of history like Rich and I do, we know how narratives work out.
Right. And Madden is considered one of the great NFL coaches of all time.
Yep.
Not the greatest, but he's one of the greatest.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, and then you look at like a Dabo Swinney. Heard that for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, remember the old expression? They're Clemsoning. Right?
Yeah.
That was the old expression. They're Clemsoning. Then he won two national titles. Have you had any look at Ashton Gentry this season at all?
Yeah, bits and pieces, but I know this. I voted for him for the Heisman Trophy.
Okay,
he was in my number one spot. And as James mentioned about an hour or so ago, his yards after contact are ridiculous. 1,300 yards.
It's 1,800.
It's crazy.
It's 1,800.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. And his average per game was, I don't know how many more yards than the guy who's second. It's 60, 70 yards. I can't remember the lot. I didn't look at it recently. But he's going to be a handful. No doubt about it.
Hey, guess what? They're there for a reason.
Yeah.
Okay?
They won their way in.
They deserve to be there. Rich.
Absolutely.
To you and your family, and it's a great family, by the way. I've had the privilege of meeting many of them. Happy holidays, and really looking forward to seeing you out in Phoenix.
Sounds good, Steve. Merry Christmas to you and yours, and to Todd, and thanks again for having me on. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Your perspective's invaluable to me. Thank you, Rich. The great Rich Scarsella. Reading Eagle. And this half hour has been brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. I went with Ford this year. 2024 has been great to me because of that vehicle and that buying experience at Sunbury Motors. Full lot of pre-owned vehicles, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And whether it's Quick Lane, inspections, routine, difficult. Their service department handles it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.